want to invite you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read just briefly from here, and then we're going to talk and unpack these things, but let's just look at his word. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, this brief moment in time where we, as those you have set apart, called your church, Lord God, by your Spirit, and those that are even here that are seeking and wanting to understand more what you're doing and who you are. We just ask that your Spirit be with us as we really set out this year to think differently and what needs to happen for that to take place. I pray that your Spirit would really work in and through us, soften our hearts, Lord God, draw us to a faith that works, that's obedient to your word. Lord, we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as 2024 begins, it's helpful to create a sense of evaluation. Sometimes we get so busy with our life that we don't think to pause and evaluate kind of the circumstances and ways things are in the moment. And so what happens is it's good to like think about your spirituality. Are you really trusting and seeking Christ as you may claim to believe in your social media profile? Is it really alive in your actions and the way that you process everyday moments? And what happens is we tend to address the symptoms of our problems, but never really addressing the root cause of those problems. So today we're beginning this series of abiding in Christ, which is a great anchoring point if you think about it for the beginning of a year, what it looks like to abide in Christ. And starting next week, we're going to begin unpacking John chapter 15. And I want to invite you, if you could, just to begin to study over John 15. Over the next month and a half, that you, if you don't have a Bible reading plan already, or if you want just a little extra, which isn't a bad thing, that you would just take the Word of God and just pray through John 15 for the next month and a half. And as we're looking at this, before we unpack abiding, we're going to look at what the Bible calls fruit. You ever think what it is? Because fruit's a lot of things, but the fruit that the Bible addresses, there's a variety of areas that we really talk about fruit, and one of them is our behavior in relationships to others. If you want to know if someone is truly trusting in Christ and their life is transformed by the work of the gospel, then you could see how they engage other people. There's fruit there. There's evidence that really testifies to that in their life. It's also part of a fruit that where it's acts of obedience to God and His Word. Like where we begin to do what His Word says. We see Him, we trust Him, we see Him as Lord of our lives, and we begin to respond accordingly. In areas like repentance, where we don't think our way, but we think His way. Where we change our mindset and our actions to correspond to His. Where we pray, where we tend to seek His face and long for Him through prayer. We have times of confession where we recognize the sin in our life and we agree that it does not align with His Word. Moments of fruit happen even in our giving, where we give to the Lord an offering with our resources, where we study God's Word. This is a fruit of one who has been transformed by Christ. That even in serving, the way that you serve other people, little things that you can do, whether in the local body that you serve in or in areas of your life altogether. Many of you serve in Parks and Recreation, which is a great TV show. But some of you serve in that way, in local soccer and baseball and football, and just serving other people, making them better. But also forgiving is a fruit. Where you are evidenced, you understand what God has done in your life, and you forgive other people, And then one key thing that's really a theme of who we are as a church is that one of the fruit is that you make disciples, that you walk with other people, chasing after Jesus, aiming to become like Christ in all things, knowing it's a work of His Spirit working in you, and that's a fruit. And then your worship. Again, it's not just confined to what we do on a Sunday morning in singing, but it's our life as an anthem to the Lord. And then there's obvious ones, right? The fruit of the Spirit that we see in Galatians 5, like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. These evidences that we chase after Christ, and it's the work of His Spirit we see in everyday life. Well, in the Sermon on the Mount, which I just read from, it's this sermon, this message that Jesus gave to His followers and also all those that were listening. And He describes the distinctives of those who follow after Him, these things that set them apart for those who really chase after Him. And He uses the sermon to rightly show those distinctives in areas like prayer. What does real prayer look like? What is a way to handle money, anger, marriage, and fasting? In the first of these sections, we see this amazing thing that we just read from that really is a warning for us, for those that sometimes tend to influence us. I don't know if you have people or things that influence you, shape the way that you do things, but it's a warning, right? He says, beware of them. But what's crazy and cool, and I think very appropriate for us to do as followers of Christ, is to hold this word against ourselves and to really evaluate. Maybe this is a warning for us too about the fruit in our lives. And so we start off in verse 15. He says, beware of false prophets. Now, what's been kind of obvious throughout the Sermon on the Mount, which begins in Matthew chapter 5, we see it in chapter 6 and definitely in chapter 7, is that this warning is helping, like, for those who are listening to consider the way of Jesus different from the way that the people around them, the scribes and Pharisees, which he acknowledges in chapter 6, big time, right? And the way that they were interpreting Scripture and applying it and holding people to their way of interpretation. In kind of the way that Jesus said it, he says, you've heard that it was said, but I tell you this. In other words, he's showing this distinction between those who follow after him truly, who truly follow after the law and the word of the Lord versus the way that others do it. And he says that these people will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. They look like they're playing the part. They look like everyone else. They look like they mean well. They look like it, but their intentions are nefarious. They're evil. Verse 16, you will recognize them. You will be able to tell who they really are by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Just given an obvious hypothetical, right? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. And he's just hitting things that when we look at it, it is obvious. But he's given this metaphor, which I believe is critical for us to see, for those that influence us, but also for us to think about ourselves. Are there things in our life where we've been playing the game, wearing the Christian smile with the Christian part for some of us? But are we doing this, playing this game, but inwardly we're really evil? Inwardly, we're not really one who follows after Christ. And so we play the game. We show up on time, some of us. And we do these things, but inwardly, we're not really chasing after God and His kingdom. And keep reading. It says, and every healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that bears or does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into a fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. And again, just because you look the part doesn't mean you're a follower of Christ. You can blend in, you can talk the language, you can show up on time, you can dress the part, still be a wolf in sheep's clothing. But there's two things that we need to pay attention to in this warning. The one is obvious. How do we tell? How can we really understand if we or others that influence us are a wolf in sheep's clothing? Well, the first one is obvious, right? It mentions it three times. Fruit. Like, the evidence is in how they act and what who is truly Lord of their life. It's there. It's obvious. We see it. We see their intentions, that they're really manufacturing things and doing things, kind of shuffling behind the scenes, so to speak. Usually, we should be able to tell. But the other thing that's implied but not said is the source of that fruit. Where are these people, where are you drawing as a source for the fruit that you bear in your life? Like, what's at the heart of you, really? Like, what's the strength? Where do you draw life and motivation? And just real talk, as we evaluate, because that's what we're trying to do, is it from your wealth? And some of you in this room, wealth, what? I don't even know how to pronounce that. So maybe not you, right? But for some of us, like, that's our bullseye. That's how we measure who we really are. Maybe it's attention or fame. Maybe if I could just get enough people to see who I really am, that's my source. I feel life there. Maybe it's pleasures. And you are like chasing after the next pleasure and the next pleasure, the next adrenaline rush, the next like shot of dopamine, something that will so right-size you because that's where you find your source. It could be your health. It could be that, you know what, I just want to feel good, I want to look good, I want to have this energy, I want to post it and let people see it, do it my way. Could be. For some of us, we find our source in our kids. You let that kid misbehave, though. Woo! You let them embarrass you in public. Some of us, we find our source in our marriage. I had the privilege last week to do two weddings. Crazy, right? And one of the key aspects that I encourage married couples to have is to make sure they find their joy in Christ and not one another. Because what happens is if you find your joy in your spouse, they will fail you 100% of the time, but Christ won't. So what is your source? So what happens, the thing is, if your source, if who you are basing your life and drawing this from, and you're producing bad fruit, what happens when that thing that you've drawn your source from gets threatened or cut off from you? Then what? What do you do then? And all that does is exposes you that your source isn't a tree that's good. So as a result, you have fruit in your life that corresponds to that bad tree. There's a passage in the Old Testament that I want us to kind of really wrestle with as we close this idea today and really embark on the next few weeks together in John 15, but I want us to see it in Psalm 1, to see this contrast between these two types of people that really are bearing fruit, but their fruit, it happens and responds way different. And I want to just take a moment and just show you this so that maybe, just maybe, God can begin to unearth in you a difference so that you aim for fruit that reflects you trusting Christ as your source. So look at this with me. In Psalm 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked." Now what's incredible is it gives you the name of the one who is happy because of how they are anchored. But then instead of just talking about the good and the right things they do, it starts off with the negative things they don't do, the things they choose not to do, right? They don't walk in the counsel of the wicked, which means they don't let the wisdom of the world dictate who they are. Anybody in this room that has trouble with that besides me? Letting the wisdom of this world dictate, define, create your identity. The blessed man does not. Nor stands in the way of sinners, which means their lifestyle also corresponds to their blessedness or wickedness. And this person who is blessed does not stand in the way of sinners, which means they do not follow after the way that the world lives. Nor do they sit in the seat of the scoffers, those that judge the things of God. This is not the blessed man, but the blessed man, in contrast, gives it this way in verse 2. The blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. It's in the things of God. It's in God's way. It's in God's holiness. It's in God's righteousness. And that's what dictates the way that this person lives. They are so anchored in who God is and his holiness and righteousness that that transforms the way they think, and they meditate on it. They ponder it. They saturate themselves in this truth. And it says, on his law, he meditates day and night. It is who they are all the time. And then it continues. It says, he is like a tree planted. I would emphasize this because you're going to see it in the next little phrase. Planted are deeply rooted by streams of water that yield its fruit in its season. They are so grounded in who God is and what his word says about him in his holiness that they're so anchored in him that they are like a tree that has its roots right by a water source. Okay? And so as a result of that being so anchored and true of them, with the roots being so deeply embedded in a source of life, what happens is they produce fruit at the right time. Things are different about them because of where their source is. As it continues, it says it's reflective of what they're rooted in, right? And its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. In essence, basically because he's so filled with the source, he prospers. And then it gives the contrast again. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. So this picture, which is really powerful, because that chaff that is shown here, it really goes back to this picture we see in the Old Testament of a threshing floor. What would happen is a threshing floor, they would thresh the wheat, okay? And the wheat would be so heavy because it's the fruit of that. And what would happen is at night, the wind would blow and the chaff, the extra part that isn't for consumption, that really has no value, is blown away. And what he's saying is the blessed man is so anchored, so filled with who God is because of the source, that he will remain. But the one who is wicked is like the chaff. Trusting in things of no value will be blown away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now, here's what's great, and we're going to unpack this more, but the only way that any of us could ever stand before the holy God in judgment is because, let's just say it, it's the work of Jesus, period. But for us, as we embark on this study together, as brothers and sisters, on what it means to abide in Christ, who is the model for fruit bearing? Meaning, who are we trying to reflect? In Bible college, it was always safe on the quiz to put Jesus, because at least you get partial credit. Well, in real life, the right answer is Jesus all the time. It's Jesus. And here's what I want us to see as a central theme for what we're going to walk through together as brothers and sisters over the next few weeks, is that fruit is not produced from trying harder. This isn't one of those things where you bootstrap it and figure it out. But fruit is produced from surrendering control and abiding in Christ. It's your source. It's your dependence on Him. So, what happens is your behavior in relationships with other people, you begin to respond as Jesus would. This fruit that happens from abiding in Christ, these acts of obedience to God and His Word, you have repentance when moments where you're not thinking like Jesus, you begin to think like Jesus because you're abiding in Christ and those things are produced in you. When you begin to pray now because you're abiding in Christ, part of the fruit of that is you're fostering your relationship with Christ. When you have moments of confession, you have those because you know that you're not acting like Jesus. When you have moments where you're giving to the Lord, you are saying, Lord, these are your resources and I'm abiding in you to provide for me. When you have moments where you study God's words, you begin to understand that as you abide in Him, you're learning His way. And when you serve other people, you begin to serve because you're abiding in Him as He has served you. And you, when you forgive other people, when you say, you know what, I'm not going to let this have power over me anymore, what you're doing is you're forgiving as Christ has forgiven you. And when you aim to make disciples, what you're doing is you're helping other people as you abide in Christ to abide in Christ too, which will change and transform their lives. And when you worship, you are living those lives that you have, your life, for the Lord. And obviously, just going back to Galatians 5, each of those examples of the fruit of the Spirit, all those things are Christ personified. True love, Jesus is. Right? Ultimate joy is in Christ. Peace, like true peace, is in Christ. Uncommon patience, kindness, gentleness. And here's one we need, faithfulness, right? And self-control, all in Christ. And we abide in Him. This fruit by His Spirit is produced in us. And the key thing I never want to just blaze by, never want to assume everybody understands this. This is only possible if you're in Christ. You will never be able to bootstrap this enough. It's never by your effort. That's what the wolves try to do. But you're a sheep, a lamb that depends on your shepherd. So you need the good shepherd to provide for you. So you must depend on Him. You must trust Him. You must see in this time of evaluation that the only way that you can produce fruit is not from trying harder, but from surrendering your control and abiding in Christ. And what I want us to do each week is not just ask ourselves how we needed to hear this, but ask the question, who do we know that needs to hear these things about Jesus too? Let me pray for us. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for this. I praise You for the work of Your Spirit, that Your power would so rest in us. And Lord God, that we would begin abiding in You and produce fruit that reflects that abiding, that dependence, that surrender of control and trusting in You. Lord, I thank You for this. I pray for my brothers and sisters that Your Spirit would help them. Help them surrender and trust You. Lord, we thank You for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, church. So I want to remind you what I mentioned a moment ago. If you are looking to join a small group that meets at the church building at 11 o'clock in the Gateway building, they will be meeting back there. That's with the Cavenders and the Merchants. And so I want to just encourage you, if you're new, you're a young couple, and you're like, man, I'd love to engage with other people my age that have kids around my same age, this is an opportunity for that. Also, I just want to remind you of a few things that we keep front and center here. We love you. It is our joy that we get to serve alongside of you. And may you always be found at the intersection of knowing the love of God and making the love of God known. Go in Jesus' name and have a great week.